Back to Muslimish. In case you're new here, we're your host, Uma.
And Miriam. And Aziza couldn't make it to today's episode, but she'll definitely be here next week.
So see Aziza
But
next week.
yeah,
Got it.
we haven't recorded in so long. It's kind of awkward.
I know, but it's okay. We'll get into the flow. And it's kind
Yes,
of
we'll
weird
get
when
into
it's only two of us.
right?
Yeah, but it's okay. All right. So today we want to talk about double standards in the Islamic community when it comes to race. And just for your reference, we don't think Islam promotes racism. Rather, the communities of Muslim practitioners promote racism. And when we say this, we're talking about when you think of the world right now, though, race is a big problem, and not only race, but gender and just a lot of stuff. But today we just want to focus on race.
Also, we're also going to be doing an episode about women and double standards, but for today's episode, it's all about race and racism. So, yeah.
So something that we really want to talk about is race and being a hijabi woman, like an African hijabi woman or just black. And when we say this, it's like when you wear the hijab, there's also a lot of stereotypes that, oh, you're black. Okay, how would I say this? It's like people consider like braids,
To be haram.
you know, yeah, like they consider it like unclean, and it's like not by the standards of Islam. But that doesn't make sense because.
That just blows mine because what else are people with textured 4C, anything like even three, like three type three to type four hair? What are they supposed to do with their hair for it to not be big under the hijab?
And you know, also one thing is like, let's say for example, me, I remember when I was younger, I used to wear the hijab for the first time. Obviously, when my hair wasn't braided, it would be like poofy in the back. And people are like, oh, you can't have that because poofy hair in the back, you can't have a hump. But it's like some people cannot like control that. You know, some people have more hair, thicker hair than other people. Obviously, there's like protective styles, but still, at the end of the day, it's sometimes something you can't control, you know?
Yeah, like obviously it's not permitted to have like a big bump of your in the back of their hair, but if it's something that you generally cannot control, it's never okay for you to tell another hijabi woman that what they're doing with their hair under the hijab is wrong because you generally don't know what their hair is like. I think that's just really, that's so racist. Especially that braids and like locks or dreads are haram because it's like that's the one thing that black girls could do to
And
make
it's
sure
not
they're
only
not
women, it's also men,
men
because
too.
many of them wear dreads, many of them wear locks and braids, you know?
For you to tell them
And
that's hygienic when it's literally being cleaned all the time is just weird.
Also, when it comes to like hair as well, I believe like it's a microaggression because even if you're not Muslim, you see black people with afros going to work and then like a job interview, for example, and they'll be denied the job because of their hair. It's unprofessional wise. And you see, obviously, it's not about Islam, it's just about people and their racist views, you know. And even if you're not deemed a quote unquote racist and you still mention stuff like that, that's still a microaggression, which is a part of the problem, you know. And if you guys are listening and you don't know what a microaggression is, it's basically small comments that mean something bigger. Like, for example, you see a black person walking down the street with the afro and you're like, oh my God, that's like not kept clean. That's a microaggression. It's just a, you know what aggression is? So it's a smaller aggression that's actually a big one, you know?
Yeah, that reminds me of like people using Islam to cover up their racism too. Like, you need to stop making up things and calling them haram and trying to use Islam to back it up when really you're just racist. Like, what you're doing is haram. So, please, let's stop it.
And there's even a story in the Quran where do if you've heard of Bilal, which was a black slave, and the Meccans made fun of him because he was black. But he be but because of not only was he a slave, but also because he was black, he was judged. And in my opinion, I feel like that mostly had to do with his race. And people and the Prophet ﷺ gave him the right to say the adhan, right? And whenever you mention Bilal in the Muslim community, a lot of people get offended. And it's insane because they're offended. Like, the Islam doesn't discriminate. Allah created one race, and you're over here being racist because another group of people are more darker skinned than you. That doesn't make sense.
That is like a great segue into the next topic of Arab Muslims thinking they're superior than black Muslims. It's
And this is
honestly
not all. This is not all, but a
what?
majority. Yeah, a majority.
As we're just saying, like, it just happens to be true. Like, but yeah, like, it's just really, it's such a weird concept. I've seen multiple people say that, like, oh, Arabs are the better Muslims, this, that, and the third. Like, it just will never make sense to me because Islam is supposed to be a religion of peace. You're not supposed to discriminate based on one's skin color. Like, it's truly just wicked to me how people could think that way. Give me a second. I'm trying to look up the responses that we got on our Insta story.
Yeah, also with that, Arab Muslims, a lot of Arab Muslims thinking they're superior to black Muslims. I can speak from my experience. I've walked into a mosque full of Arabs and I've gotten crazy stares. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, is it because I'm black? And I'm a Muslim. Is that the problem? Like, I don't get it. And they just stare at you and they have like no shame. Like, why are you staring at me? And I know it's because I'm black walking into a mosque full of a bunch of Arabs, you know, like I'll be one of those three black people at the mosque. And another thing, it's like an another experience I've had, this isn't specifically Arabs, but it was Pakistanis. I think I told you this, right? There was like before the day before Eid, there my community was having like a henna night for the Muslim women in the town and stuff. So I went and I was thinking, oh my God, this would be so fun, you know, like getting, because I just moved here recently too, so I really didn't know any Muslims. So I go and it's full of a lot of groups of people, and I'm not even joking. Like, there was Pakistanis, there was white people, and that's also what. Yeah, and that's also one thing I would say is Islam doesn't have a race. You can't deem Islam something that belongs to one race. It's for everyone, you know. You see Hispanic Muslims, white Muslims, black Muslims, Arabs, you know, there's a lot of. And so basically, we me and my cousins, we're all black, by the way. Yeah, I just want to make that a point. And we went to this lady and one of the stands, and we were like, okay, we would all like to get our henna done, and we would like to all get our henna done. And we created a sign-up sheet because there was a lot of people, like, to who would go next in order. And this girl, she literally, like, I know it was because we're black, but yeah, she charges us $15. So she charges us $15 for like the ugliest henna design. And we asked her if she can do a specific one because she was doing specific one for other people, like other Pakistani women who were there, right? And I was like, maybe it's just nothing, right? But then when I found out she was charging $15 for like just the hand, bro, just for the hand, and it was the ugliest designs ever, the ones we didn't even want to choose. And then she had her Pakistani woman skipping the line, even though there was literally a list and a line of people who were supposed to go. She had them skipping it, and then they were when they were when she was doing the other people's hands, she was like, okay guys, just one hand. Instead, she just would take like half an hour for each for the ladies, and then did their native language, and they kept staring at us, and I just knew it had to be worse. And this is like not the first experience I've had of people speaking to me in different language. Like, you know, when you go, when I lived in the Bronx, I used to go to like Dominican salons, Hispanic salons, and they would say comments about my hair, like, I'm not really that dumb to not know you guys are saying, oh, my hair is very thick, I should straighten this. And they recommend me relaxer products. Like, you know, it's like these types of like little microaggressions that I realized, like, you know, it's just racism at this point. And colorism also contributes to that, because you know there's people who are like, oh, your skin is too dark, you know, those little comments, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, that goes like we asked you guys to tell us some of your experiences with racism, and what you're saying just ties right into it. Like someone said, I'm not gonna mention the names because I don't know if they're that comfortable with it, but someone says, as an African Muslim, Arab Muslims find it hard to say salam or respond to salam.
Real. Yep.
That's because if someone is
Or
saying you, like, who are you to now say walaikum salam back to them? That's actually really rude.
like when you're walking on the street and say hi to like, or salam to like another, obviously I won't. I would say it's kind of easy to tell when you're Arab, you know, but like an Arab hijabi and she just ignores you. It's kind of like sad. Yeah.
Someone also said that, I've had a lot of experience with Arab Muslims being condescending, unfortunately. Sometimes they don't even realize they're doing it. Someone else said, a Moroccan Arab said to me, Islam shouldn't have spread to sub-Saharan Africa, which is actually insane. Saying that
That's so dumb.
a race of people.
Oh my God.
When I was in Morocco, I thought I would face way more racism than I did, but I mean, a little is still a lot to me. So basically, this is what happened, guys. Me and my friends were at a restaurant, and there were just a group of kids and like their parents next to us. And for some reason, we just look over at them, not like in a crazy way. Like, I just look over at them and I see them, and they see us. And then out of nowhere, we just hear on three, let's say the N-word. In the clearest English,
What?
clearest English, and then they were like one, two, three, and they didn't say the rest because they know better. But we were just like, that's a little
Okay.
weird. So
I
my
just
friend
wanna
had,
add, yeah, you know, it's, you know how a lot of people are like, okay, this is like random, but you know when a non-black person from another country says the N-word, and like, and they're like, let's say they speak like Portuguese, right? And they say the N-word while singing a song, and people are like, oh, they're from a different country, they don't know what that means. But the problem is, they know what that means. Everyone in the world know what the N-words mean.
Exactly. Put
Like,
on.
unless you, yeah, unless you're from like a con a place where it's very isolated, then I get that. But every In every a lot of languages, a version of the N-word that exists. So you can't say that you don't know what the N-word means, you know?
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna say, like my friend, he had told one of our program managers, not expecting those her to like snitch or anything, but she had just told her because it's like, you know, we just experienced that, so whatever. Mind you, before we had went, so basically like we went to Morocco, we stayed in Rabat, then we did an overnight trip in Chefchaouen, and that's where we experienced like most of the racism. So they had told us before we went to Chefchaouen that like the previous session got called the N-word like multiple times while in Chefchaouen. So she told our teacher, and our teacher went up to the kid's mom and was like, oh yeah, like your son, whatever, whatever. And then they made them apologize to us in front of the whole restaurant. And the kid was basically like, oh, he didn't know what that meant. That, oh, his friends from school just say it. That's why they wanted to say it. But it's just like, at first he was denying it, like, oh, he didn't say it, he didn't say it. The fact that you had to deny it just shows exactly that, like, you knew exactly what it meant. Like, let's not pretend that you didn't know what it meant. But then, yeah, the next day we went to breakfast and we see him again. And it was really awkward. But yeah, I just think like, never an excuse to say that you don't know what it means because at this point in 2023, like, you know what it means. Let's be for real.
And also when, also in that situation, for example, like you're telling me they saw a group of black people and said the N-word, and then he's like, oh, I don't know what it means. Oh, he definitely knew. He definitely knew.
Exactly. It's the fact that it was after we had made eye contact too, because we were in that restaurant for a while and we didn't even peep each other. The second we noticed them, the second they noticed us, that's when they said something. So that's crazy.
Yeah, he definitely knew what he was saying. And that goes into saying, like, it's not Islam, because you're in Morocco, which is a very Islamic country, right? So at this point, we all know it's not Islam. We just know it's people who have these very racist views and stuff that's the issue, you know?
And God
And also,
doesn't generalize anybody generally. Like, the people in Morocco were so nice. Like, it was just a little bit of times that we experienced some crazy stuff. Like, we were walking down the street to Chef Shaouen, and every other person would call us Mama Africa, Mama Africa. Like, bro, you're literally from, like, what are you talking about? Mama,
what?
our Papa Africa. Like, why are you calling us that?
That's
Like,
insane when you guys are literally living in, where you guys literally went to visit Africa.
Africa. And then also, every time we stopped somewhere, they would just be like, Mali, Senegal, Somalia, like, bro.
Nah, that's insane.
That part was funny though. Like, I didn't take that to heart.
I mean, like, there's instances when people are obviously curious. Like, I feel like when you can tell when sometimes people are like being curious but not like offensive. But then there's times when you know people are doing it to be offensive, you know?
Yeah, and that's, bro, I keep saying that's a great segue, but generally somebody DM'd us and they were like, okay, I think racism is literally something that is taught. Like, no one is born to hate or discriminate. Yes, people will be curious and they'll ask questions, which I think is very like exactly what happened to me in Morocco. Like, they didn't mean it, like they didn't have malicious intent. They genuinely just wanted to know where I was from. Which is never, that's never wrong to like just ask someone where they're from.
And that's like, I take psychology class, so that we talked about like nature versus nurture, and nature is definitely nurture, because you're not born racist. You cannot be born racist. You learn racism through the people around you, the people who raised you, through stuff you see out in the world and stuff. You cannot really be born racist. And that's also another thing, when everyone's born, they're born Muslim, they're born pure, they're born like a good person, you know? But once you grow up, the things around you make you who you are, and it makes you like think certain things. It gives you your opinions. Like in America, when it comes to politics, a lot of young people, they just pick their political sides because of what's happening in the world, you know, and because what their families believe. And I think that's just like racism. You can never be born racist. You can't, it's impossible.
Heavy on what their parents believe. And that's another topic I really want to touch on, because I think the racism that parents show is like, it's mind blowing. Like, it's actually really insane. For example, someone in our responses said, I think it's prevalent when it comes to marriage from parents. Some restrict their children from marrying certain races when they should be focusing on whether or not they are a good person following the deen. In general, it flabbergasts me how racism thrives in community where we have been told that no one is better than others except by pity slash righteousness. Hashtag disappointing, they said. This is so true. Personal experience with this, not me, but like from family members and siblings. Like, I know people who were disowned just because they married out of their race. And it's so sad. Like, parents let something as small, I need to lower my voice because I don't want them to hear this. But it's really sad that parents let something as small as race decide whether they want to support their child. It's so sad. It's really sad because too many people are disowned because of that. And it's like, if the person they're marrying is a good person and on their deen, it generally should not matter whether they're white, black, Arab. Like, that's so sad to see.
Yeah, heavy on marriage. A lot of times, okay, I'm not gonna say like, okay, when I say like marriage, when it comes to two different types of culture. I see what why parents are worried, because you know there's a culture barrier, but then there's the other side of that. It's because, okay, let's say you're Arab and you want to marry a black woman. That is not about the culture difference. It's about race, most definitely. Yeah. And it's not only Arabs when it comes to black people, but it's also black people when it comes to other races. This one isn't,
One.
yeah, this one isn't black and white. This is just like literally just everyone. And when it comes to Islam, we all know the halal way to do it is marriage. So, you know, even the prophet advised marry people from other cultures, other backgrounds, but they ignore that. And because of these racist ideologies people have, it's tough to even marry somebody that you love.
Even with me, like one time, I don't want to say this because my dad listens. Gonna say it anyways.
Okay.
One time, like I was asking my dad, like, oh, like what would happen if I was to marry outside my race or whatever? And it's just very clear that he just wants me to marry a Togolese man, and I'm just like, bro. You're gonna have to deal with me not marrying one, because at the end of the day, if who I like is not Togolese and I married them, like you're gonna have to deal with it. Like I don't see what's the problem, especially if they're Muslim. I don't see the problem. Like some I need to stop saying, like African parents are very prideful, and I think they need to let that go, because it's giving nationalism at this point. You should never be that attached to where you're from that you don't even want your kid talking to people outside of their race.
Yeah, and it's not only African parents. This is every minority. And do you
Yeah.
see white people? White people be marrying any race, and nobody has a problem with that. But the
Exactly.
second it's a minority, it's a problem.
And we be calling white people the race. Let me stop. They are racist. But us too, like, we need to check ourselves out, because we cannot be calling other people out for our race, for their racism, and then be racist yourself. It's not making sense.
And also, like, another thing that parents teach kids, it's like, I feel like a lot of the bad mouthing that parents do, because they will see, and this goes for any race, man, they will see another person of a different race and they're gonna point out a flaw that isn't real. And Islam just is that people don't have flaws except for their sins, right? And Allah is the most forgiving. But people point out flaws that have nothing to do with religion. They make up little comments that shouldn't even be a thing, you know? And when they say that in front of their kids are going to adopt that. Their kids are going to say that to other people. Their kids are not going to learn to be better people. They're going to learn to be people who judge. And judging is not a good thing in Islam. So I think as the next generation of parents, we should make sure we watch what we say in front of our kids, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And someone also said, give me a second. Someone said people really just stick with their own people and aren't welcoming to others. I think that goes into what you just said about like children adopting their parents' ideals. It hurts to see like Muslims so segregated, because when I walk into a space and I see like other hijabis, I'm so excited to get to know them. But generally, like I have not been able to, I don't know, like I have not been able to talk to other hijabi without just feeling judged for being black. Like, because
I
I see
agree.
form, like we all might be hijabis and Muslims, but at the end of the day, the group is gonna form based off of race, and it like that's truly segregation, and I don't think it's right. And it's just because all of us, whether it's African, whether it's white, whether it's Arab Muslims, like we all genuinely believe a bad thing about the other ethnic group. And it just doesn't make sense. Not
And
learning.
like, yeah, like what you're saying, I think it's more like, okay, yeah, we're black. People say racist stuff to us. We're shunned. We're separated from like the people who are quote unquote superior. But to we allow these types of stereotypes, you know, we allow ourselves to fine. I mean, I'm not saying like we allow ourselves to let people be racist to us. It's just like we also have adopted these stereotypes, I would say, and we also separate ourselves from the other races, you know? And for example, like when you go to school, bro, there's always gonna be a group of black friends. There's gonna be a group of Asian friends. There's gonna be a group of white friends. There's gonna be a group of other, and you can't lie and say that does not exist because it is. There are
It's
boundaries set within these groups of, you know, races. And I think we should learn, we should all learn to be inclusive, even if we're not accepted by society, you know? Like, okay, this isn't Islam, but this is like one really big thing that just happened in the US. Basically, colleges had the it's called something called affirmative action, where colleges had like a set quota of amount of black students to accept. But then this one Asian student, he was rejected from one of the colleges, like the top colleges he wanted to get into, and he thought it was because of affirmative action, even though literally the college application process is in, like when you're trying to get into Ivies, nobody knows how you get into Ivy, you know? And yeah, he was really smart, and I'm gonna say that, and he was Asian American. And he didn't get into his top college, so he sent a case to the Supreme Court, and then that led into a whole process. And the Supreme Court said that affirmative action needs to be taken down. So now colleges don't have a set quota for black students to attend. And here is where it gets negative. Even though that means students, our college application will be more open, it means that it's harder for black students to get into these top colleges. It means that even because when you consider the black community, there are certain places in America where it's full of black communities, the income there, it goes downhill. And there's specific areas in America, specific communities where income levels are low, where public school is bad, they don't get enough funding, and black students cannot take AP classes. You can be the top student in your class, but let's say there's another student that colleges are considering and they have AP classes. Obviously, the colleges will accept that that person is took more advantage, even though they had the advantage given to them through those schools with like better funding, you know? So now it's harder for African American students to get into these colleges. And I think the problem here is like what I was trying, my first point is that instead of like these Asian communities putting themselves against black students, they just like, because there's a lot of Asians who agree that affirmative action is a bad thing, you know? But it's like a lot of Asian American students have the opportunity black students do not have, you know? And I think instead of like the Asian American community working against black students, African American students, we could have worked together to create a better system, you know? And I think this is mostly into politics because funding for schools are like really bad for in African American communities. But like what I'm trying to say is like this Asian student who thought that it was unfair, didn't look on the side of like what an African American student feels, you know? Because he definitely had the opportunity to take AP classes. Like we're not gonna say he didn't. He had like a high GPA and everything, you know?
I think it's crazy to see the switch up that everybody has on black people once they don't get what they want. And I think them taking away affirmative action and like the whole process that that student went just to do that just shows how much like how quickly they're able to put the blame on somebody else when things don't go their way. Like it truly blows my, I need to stop saying it blows mine, but it was crazy how one person didn't get to a couple of his favorite schools, and then everybody said, yep, it's because black people are taking their spots, which is crazy because it's an Ivy League. Affirmative action is not the reason why they're getting into the school. They're getting into the school because they actually showed that they're able to get into school. Their essay, their test scores, if they submitted it, their grades was all the reason why they got into the schools. Okay, maybe being black put them a little bit on top of the other, but you have to think about it because black people never get that opportunity. So if they're actually that like if they're really a great student, and they're black, of course they're gonna get into the school. I just think it was really weird to see how many people turned against people of color during that time. Because let's really talk about it. If it's anybody taking y'all spots, it's these legacy students whose grandparents be donating $10 million, $5 million to the school. Your spot is not getting taken because of one black person who has benefited because of affirmative action.
To that, when you look at the percentage of Black students at Ivy League, most of the time it's less than 15%. So if we're being very honest here, Black students aren't really taking your spot. They just had better applications, you know? And because when you think of now, if diversity is very important. It's very, very, very important. And we don't have a lot of that, even though everyone knows that we need a diverse education systems, you know, but it's not diverse if we're going to be honest. My school, 50% of the people at my school are white. I have not one single black teacher, and that affects me because I'm not going to be able to relate to my teacher. When they are white, they have different experiences as me, you know, and even not one Muslim teacher in my school. Do you know how crazy that is? And we have like over 300, you know, teachers.
Yeah, that's really, I think people need to stop claiming that people of color are taking their spots when, if you look at the statistics, like nobody's taking your spot. We're still, people of color are still very underrepresented in those areas. And you, as a white or Asian person, will always have a better chance, if we're being honest.
But anyways, back to Islam. You know the marriage thing you mentioned, like race, when we were talking about that. I just wanted to add, like recently I saw this cute married couple on TikTok, and they were two different races. The guy was black, and the comments, instead of congratulating them, focus on the point that she should not be marrying a black man, or how are they making this work? Yeah, and those comments, like I walked into the comments to congratulate them, you know, but I just saw comments about race, race, race. And yeah, that was just disappointing because we're one ummah, and I don't think race should be such a big deal when it comes to marriage. If they're happy, let them be happy.
Yeah, you tagged me in that TikTok, and all I was seeing in the comments was, is he even Muslim? But is he Muslim? Oh, he's black. Like, why do you guys assume that if a person is black, they can't be Muslim? That also
Oh,
reminds me of another TikTok that.
yeah. Can I just add something there? Yeah, and then there's this comment that, okay, let's say you're a black Muslim and you're a woman, for example, right? And you don't wear the hijab, but you're black and you're Muslim, right? People, the second you say you're a Muslim, people are like, oh, you're Muslim? I thought you were black. It's always you are black before you are Muslim, which it's so annoying.
I don't know when people couldn't start separating race and religion. It's 2023. You should be educated. You should be in school learning the difference. But yeah, like back to the TikTok that I like, there was this trend a while ago, like maybe a year ago, when there was a filter and it showed verses of like certain surahs, and people had to like say the rest of the surah based on that verse. And it was at that time, it was a lot of black people like just reciting mad surahs. It was so beautiful, like they were so educated. And the people in the comments was like, oh, exclamation point, I was not expecting that. Oh, I was not expecting that from you. From who? From a black person? Like, you weren't expecting a black Muslim to know the Quran, but you think every other Muslim can know the Quran? Like, that's disgusting.
Also, that's one of the also double standards in the Muslim community. That have you noticed that when you, like, for example, look up a lecture, Islamic lecture, most likely the first 15 videos you're gonna see is gonna be of an Arab imam. And it's not to say that all black imams are not like speaking out, because there are, bro. Do you know that most of Africa is Muslim? A lot of people in Africa. I wouldn't say the most popular religion, the continent of Africa, is Islam, but there are billions of Muslims in this world. obviously there's going to be a bunch of black sheikhs and imams, and people will ignore that fact. And not to hate on Mufti Mank, because I love Mufti Mank, like I love him, but people always find a way to mention these popular Arab imams and stuff, but we never hear about the black ones, and people always skim through their videos, and they don't expect black people to be so educated in Islam. Like, why would they not be educated in Islam? One of the richest black Muslims was Mansa Musa. He was a Muslim and he was the richest man in history. Like, come on.
It's crazy out here, bro. Okay, what else?
Oh, I was gonna say, like, also in the Quran, like, you know, the prophets, people, there are prophets where it's been mentioned that they are of darker skin, darker complexion, but people assume every prophet was Arab for some reason, which is odd, because how can every prophet be Arab? Like, in, I just want to say, like, in the Islamic community, I think as the new generation, I think we're also people who are more accepting, I would say, of other people. Because you see now, like, I have so many Muslim friends, and I don't have one single Muslim friend who's been racist to me, has said some microaggressions. They're all so inclusive. We don't look at race. We don't really look at race. I mean, we look at culture, because culture is a very different thing, but that doesn't have to do anything with like religion and like you
Being
know,
racist.
race. Yeah. All my friends are like great people, and I'm just saying, like, this is like the older generation, and I think as the new generation, we should be the ones to like change these habits of like racism, these microaggressions and stuff like that. And yeah, that's, yeah. So if you're listening to this and you're my friend, I never said you were racist. You're a great person.
Yeah, that's honestly a great way to close off the episode. Like, it's up to our generation to change the way the old generation acted and to accept new people into Islam and to not have people be scared to join the community simply because of their race.
When it comes to like social media, like Muslims posting, there's like these, like a black Muslim, people will find a way to ask, are you a revert? Which is which is so funny, because why do you assume they're a revert when you can be born Muslim and be black?
God, normally do not ever ask anybody that question. That's rude. Okay, into ending today's episode. Our next episode is gonna be about women in the Islamic community and double standards they face. We're gonna post, well, I already posted a question sticker. So if you have any experiences with that and want it to be shared in the next episode, go to our Instagram, Muslimish underscore. And yeah, just type your experiences because your responses really helped with this episode. But yeah, what else? Oh, you know, we hit 100 followers on Spotify.
Period. Thank you guys so much.
And Aziz is going to be on the next episode, guys, inshallah.
No, for real though, guys, thank you, because we started this podcast like over a year ago, and we have been very inconsistent, but you guys have been supporting us through everything. So thank you guys so much.
Yes, thank you guys. And yeah, that's it. Bye.
Bye.